All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we start this podcast, I wanted to talk to you guys about some of our sponsors, especially some of the new ones that we brought on for 2025. First and foremost, I want to thank you guys, the listeners, for making all of this possible, liking on social media, sharing, following along for the many years we've been able to do this. We are now in year 11 of Big MX Radio, and I am so proud of how far we've come, and we are just scratching the surface. Before we get into some of the newer sponsors, I want to thank some of the companies that have been with us from the very get-go. Companies like Guts Racing, literally year one. Same goes with WSA. Now, with Guts Racing, you can enter discount code BIGMX20 at checkout, and you can save 20% off of your purchase. And whether it's a full seat, a seat base, or even just a seat cover, you can save some money. Same goes with WUSA. In fact, John Anderson over at WUSA was the very first paying sponsor to ever come on Big MX Radio. And yeah, it just means a lot to me that him and I have been able to work together for as long as we have. And it's just been an amazing relationship. And you can save some money on a set of wheels or anything else that they have to offer when you contact them and mention Big MX Radio when you're going through your purchase. Luxon MX. Billy over at Luxon, if you guys haven't listened to the podcast that I did with him, you need to scroll back, and it's not very far to go listen to that. Billy White over at Luxon MX is an absolute straight shooter, no BS. He is an engineer who knows his product. They rigorously test this stuff, and basically, and he's not going to tell you that it's not that it's better if it's not better. That's one of the most, like, when it comes to Billy, it's all about integrity and actually producing products that make the motorcycle handle better, feel better. We talked about flex characteristics in that podcast. It's actually is a pretty funny bit about it. So I would highly recommend checking that out. And you can save 10% off any purchase that you make at LuxonMX.com when you enter discount code BIGMX2025. That's going to save you 10% off every single one of your purchases. Like I said, I highly recommend you guys going ahead and doing that. It's been so amazing. Same goes for Backyard Design. BIGMX24 saves you 24% off of your full purchase. So that's just shy of a quarter of your purchase. And I think I'm going to talk to Jared over at Backyard to add an extra percent to that. Now that we're into 2025, obviously last year was 2024. We had a 24% off. I think, we're going to bump that up to 25% off. But that's not the case just yet. So if you're buying graphics right now, it is BIGMX24 at checkout. It's going to save you 25% or 24%. So, also with us, we have the Fast Company. Those guys are absolutely unreal. I have their spoke torque wrench. I have a set of their flex handlebars. I use both every time that I ride. And yeah, it just makes things more awesome. Like when it comes to, your W wheels, you want to get some extra time out of those wheels by making sure that the spokes are torqued properly every time you go out there. Do it like the pros do and use a Fast Company spoke torque wrench, originally developed with the one, the only Goose, Mike Gosler, who of course took Ricky Carmichael to a perfect season on a 450, one of the first to ever do so. In fact, I guess now three of the four perfect seasons that have ever happened were on four strokes. The first to do it, Ricky Carmichael back in 2004. And you guys, I really appreciate you guys listening to these podcasts. We're 4 minutes into this thing. I haven't talked about anything, including talking to, the great, Andrew Hobson. So let's get to it. But, thank you guys so much for supporting our sponsors and listening to the show. I love you guys and it's going to be an amazing year. And we're just getting started. So let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, a very special guest. He's on all of these Racers Mindset podcasts, and he's super knowledgeable, super fit, and that's why he is on this podcast. Hoppo, Andrew Hobson, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you very much. First one of the 2025 season. Looking forward to it. Can't wait. I would say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year and all that stuff, seeing this is the first one. Looking forward to it. And let's just jump straight into it.
Yeah, we're going to fly straight into 2025. Kind of crazy to say we're 2025 now. The fact that I started racing in 1999 feels further and further and further away. In fact, today we are closer to New Year's Eve 2050 than we are to the whole Y2K bullshit. You believe that?
Well, I remember Y2K. It was like the world was going to end, right? Like computers were going to stop. No one knew it was going to happen. All the codes were written for 2000. We were never, ever going to get there. There was a lot went on. And then next thing you know, the fireworks went off in Sydney, Australia, and the world survived and we kept going.
Yeah, it was so funny to me of that, like, if the whole thing was based around, like, the code and how it wouldn't work anymore or some sort of glitch in the matrix as far as computers were going to work. But, like, when they were designing that code back in the day, did nobody designing that code be like, you know what, like, it's 1984. I think the world's going to be around for at least another 16 years or so. Maybe we should throw in some sort of like a fail safe so that this doesn't just go sideways on us. Apparently was not the case, but we're already on a tangent. But in this episode, we are going to talk about adversity and how that is always part of our lives, especially when you're a high performing individual. Before we do that, Hoppo, it's with heavy hearts that we start this podcast. A tragedy over the holiday season. A dear friend of mine, I'd dare to say maybe the dearest friend of yours, Dave Feeney, no longer with us. I'll give you the opportunity to take the floor and speak about your dear friend who's no longer with us. We miss Dave a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely was, a tough Christmas, New Year period for everyone, especially his wife, Carol. I had known Dave for over 40 years. Him and I grew, he was several years older than me, and we grew up in Newcastle, Australia, obviously, and had a love for racing motorcycles, and he was older than me, so, you know, I would travel with him a lot and just race around Australia as much as we could, whatever our small budgets and pay packets allowed for back in the 90s of Australia, 80s and 90s really now when I think back about it. I owe a lot to him because he was the one that came here first and then I followed footsteps. He had a very, very decorative career, multiple championships. And then, you know, he was just a racer at heart. If he wasn't at a national or a supercross, he was at SoCal Old Timers or over the hill game with his wife racing moto. So, you know, he would build a national level bike and then come home and work on his bike and Carol's bike and go to the races. Like I said, that career, that friendship spanned well over 40 years and to see a friend and a man that where the mind and the body didn't connect at the end through, you know, cancer, especially prostate cancer was the first sign. So again, we'll touch on this possibly again in the podcast is like, you know, every man needs to take it like a man and go get checked. There's no way around it. You know, I know we all aren't getting out alive, but, it was definitely, it was tough to watch over the past 16 months. And then especially the last few weeks was very tough on everybody. But at the end of the day, he's in a better place. He left a lot of great memories and touched a lot of hearts. And like I said, he was just a racer at heart. Sad to see him go, but like I said, none of us are getting out alive. So we just got to keep living every day the best we can. And you're right. I mean, adversity is a tough thing. It's something that we all go through. We all have to deal with. And yeah, it's tough. Yeah. I'm out of words on that at the moment.
Completely understandable, but you were able to honor your dear friend by twisting the throttle on his 450 for him?
Yeah, he had some requests, and well, actually, I was just going to race his number 34 because, you know, he had that number 34 from the early 80s, and I had 23 from the 80s as well. So I was just going to run 34 on my bike that weekend because after he passed, Carol, his wife, were like, all right, we're all racing this weekend. And I'm all right, that's how Dave would have wanted everyone to do it. So then I ended up racing his 34 machine, so in honor. And then there was another fellow that had bought one of his older Suzukis with 30 that had 34 on it. So we both raced. You know, and I got to say to that as well, it's like, you know, the last time I went to Glen Helen had a gate drop, I don't remember leaving and spent 10 days in a hospital. So for me to do a gate drop again at Glen Helen was a little, you know, I had some adversity and some thoughts back and forth. I'd promised my girlfriend that I wouldn't race. I would just ride. That went out the gate 30 feet down the starting straight.
Typically does.
Yeah. But all in all, it was a good day. We did a parade lap. They raised some money. There's a celebration of life in 2 weeks today. We'll do some social media on that sort of stuff if you're in the area, in the Temecula area. But overall, you know, it was a good day and everyone was, you know, everyone loved Dave. And if you did cross Dave's path, you probably deserved it. So, but other than that, you know, he was a great man. Missed by all.
He certainly was. He absolutely certainly was. He's always very kind to me, always had time for me. That always meant a lot. With everybody who's been warm and welcoming to me in the industry, being a kid from Canada, not totally unlike a pair of kids from Australia just trying to make their way. It can be a pretty lonely world in the moto industry when you don't know a lot of people. And I think there's a lot of people who probably gave me a little bit more of a chance once they knew that a guy like Dave was cool with me. He's just someone that so many people respected. It was incredible to see the outpouring of support and condolences and tribute posts. Everybody from Casey Johnson to Zach Osborne to even yourself, his wife has put out a really touching post as well. So yeah, Dave, we miss you, buddy.
If there's anything I can say towards, you know, Dave and Carol, and this is coming from someone that has lived the industry, in terms of when I say that is like, unless you have done an AMA season from start to finish and realize the work, the time that is involved from leading up to A1, building a race bike, seeing who's done their homework on Saturday night, where the cards fall, I suck, he sucks, I thought we had it, you know, all those emotions of racing at that level. And like we spoke about off air, you know, it's a lot more corporate, it's, you know, on and on and on, totally different subject. But to watch Dave win all those championships, yes, Dave did it, you know, with Osborne and Tickle. I mean, but, you know, there were still practice bike guys. And it just says a lot about Dave and Carol that, you know, she stuck by him for all those, because you were gone weeks on end, or you were only home Sunday afternoon and try to have a normal life. And you're back at work Monday morning and then you're back out Wednesday morning. You're not back for Sunday. It's like, or you stay back because you got to build through the week because you're in a warm climate, then you go into a cold climate. Like all that stuff that, you know, the general people don't probably see or understand, or some people get it or didn't realize the stress that it puts on a marriage or a relationship of the one partner. I call it the rock star lifestyle because, you know, you're at San Diego Airport 6 o'clock Friday morning for a flight. You're in rental cars, you're in motels, you're in restaurants and living the high life and everything else. And then you got to come back and then you have a supporting partner that essentially is your best partner because they're there to prop you up on the highs and lows, whether you had a bad race, you had a DNF, and Dave had his fair shares of DNFs. You know, and the highs and lows, and he won races. I mean, you it's a, I don't know quite the word to use for it, but you know, when I stand back and look at all that, and again, I posted on social media that he was a racer and he loved the barbecue, and Day in the Dirt and World Vet were, apart from winning races, were his two favorite races of the year, right? Because he could just ride, have fun, cook a barbecue, drink a beer, and be normal to an extent. But like I said, I mean, I think that, you know, so much goes out to Carol that was the glue that, that, you know, they also, everyone has their ups and downs, but I mean, that's a, you know, to have that, that lifestyle and that career for 20 plus years on the road. I mean, like I said, it just, it's just a testament to how awesome both those people were. And like you were never, like you said, I mean, like we would go to Day in the Dirt or wherever, and you were always felt welcome. There was always food on the table. There was always, you know, everyone was a part of the family, you know. So I was, right. I was grateful to be a part of that and see it, you know, up until the last minute.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, part of handling adversity is having the support system needed to be able to get past that. And sometimes you, you don't have that person in your life as like an intimate relationship. You have to search for it in other areas. Yeah, like you said, Dave was so lucky to be have a great friend like yourself. Carol, who is for all intents and purposes bulletproof as far as I'm concerned, that woman is a national treasure. And yeah, it's a real shame to see him go. But at the same time, I'm just so thankful that I got to meet the guy. I'm glad I got to spend some time with him and pick his brain and be inspired by a story about a guy who dared to dream. Living in Australia, looking at the bright lights of Supercross, and instead of staying there and saying like, "That's really cool," and staying right where you're at, leaving family, leaving friends, leaving the world that you know, in 1991,
92, 90. Dave came in 93, and then I came. At the end of 94, and there was already two guys from Australia here, which was Steve Butler and Ian Rowe. And so Butler still works for Yamaha to this day, but they were the original guys that really said, there's a couple others, Dan Alamangos that works at MXA. There's a couple other guys around, that did stuff. But, I mean, Butler was a legend himself. He worked for Emig. He worked for Bradshaw. He won some championships as well. So
yeah. It's a very inspiring story. Like the guy literally, had a dream about doing something and he became a master at it and deeply respected, within the entire, industry. And he faced his own, set of adversity. Like you said, with DNFs or changing jobs, like he worked for a lot of different teams. That means, learning a whole new way of how a team, different teams work, different organizations, different jobs. Like there's a lot of people who spend their entire working career in one employer. That wasn't the case for Dave. He needed to find his way and work with others. And you as well as I know in the motocross industry, that's not always the easiest task. But I think, furthermore, the biggest kind of takeaway from this is that, and this is something that we're dedicating, throughout every single, Racer's Mindset episode through 2025 is that, if you're a guy, over the age of, I'm just going to say 35 or above, swallow your pride, book an appointment with a physician and get yourself checked because, the consequences of not doing that are not worth the difficult conversation or the embarrassment of getting a check like that done. So go ahead and do that.
Yeah, for sure. I encourage everyone. I'm getting ready to go here and have it done here shortly. So, you know, I'll keep everyone posted on that as well. But, you know, unfortunately, it's a fact of life, but we all have to man up and do it.
100%. So, going through, let's talk about adversity. Let's talk about, And we all deal with adversity in different ways. And then obviously at different times in your life, you're going to have your feel like your back's up against the wall more than others. Adversity can find its can show up in many different forms, and in sort of different degrees as well. Like I would argue that you face a little bit of adversity every time that you decide whether or not you're going to go to the gym, whether or not you're going to follow the diet you have set for yourself, whether you're going to be able to apply for that job or like. Adversity is baked into every single day of our lives, and so are the choices needed to be able to overcome adversity. I myself currently, as people can tell, if you've been watching The Racer's Mindset for a while, the background looks a little bit differently. Big change in my life in the last month or so. Went from engaged, planning a wedding, living in a house and doing that whole thing to now, back, like no longer, I'm single now. I'm no longer living in the house that I was at. I don't have a garage. I don't have a man cave, but what I do have is some peace of mind and some peace, to be able to take one step backward, in order to take many steps forward. And, Hoppo, I know you yourself, you've dealt with a number of things through your life, and probably one that comes to mind is the fact that you're still in the process of coming back from a pretty hellacious injury. It was only 3 months ago that the doctors and the physicians were prescribing that you do a whole heck of a lot of nothing over the next 6 months and would likely spend a good portion of you'd probably be still in if you followed all the prognosis from the doctors that you worked with, you'd be in a care facility as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't wish anything bad upon anyone, but I mean, I did a race at Glen Helen, and you know what's funny about that was the day that I got hurt, September 14th, like had a crash at Glen Helen going to Talladega, and someone ran into me, ran over me. No one knows what happened, but you know, broke a handful of ribs in my back, shoulder blade, collarbone. Don't remember leaving. I got 8 plates in my ribs, 3.5 days in induced coma, you know, 10 days in hospital. You know, Dave Feeney actually raced that day. That was the last time he raced a motorcycle. And then
that's insane. Especially because I saw him like 2 months later, and I don't think like Dave's health went off a cliff.
It's actually on YouTube. The guy he diced with had a GoPro on, and his actually last race is on YouTube. And we watched it the other week.
There you go.
It's so funny to see that. I don't remember leaving. He raced, and then he was fighting for his last breath.
Wow.
You know, but, yeah, you're right. I mean, like, again, you know, I think adversity comes from so many different facets of life, whether it's your surroundings. Like you said, if I had done everything to a T that the rehab place wanted, the – you know, all these other people that were involved around, you know, making me better, which was great and fine. It's like, I would have only went back to work on Monday and they wanted me in a rehab facility for 3 months. And it's like, that's not going to happen. Like, no offense, people, but I cycled 200 miles a week before. I've got a good people, enough people around me. It's going to help me get back to where I want to do. Needs to be. I mean, I heard so many people, you're doing too much, you're going to hurt yourself, on and on and on. But I think adversity comes from deep down inside that you want to do something. Like I had signed up to do a bicycle race before I got hurt. It was 100 miles in Tucson. Right. That was going to be a walk in the park, but then it became a challenge. Right. So then I had to dig deep. I was in a lot of pain. I took myself off painkillers because I didn't want that. It was making me sick. You know, a lot of it comes down to how bad you want to do it and how quick you want to do it. Obviously, you have to let the body heal. But in my mind, I knew I could do it. So, I think adversity, it's tough because adversity then comes into growth. And growth is hard because you've never been there before. Right. It's always easy to do something that you have done.
Right.
to keep pushing that envelope every day. It's like, all right, I got to do this. I got to do that. Again, that comes back to goals and reading goals and I think and knowing where you want to go and asking yourself and being true to yourself on what you want and where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. And I'm in the middle of listening to 7 Habits of, let me just pull it up real quick. And it's very interesting where it talks about that today of 7 Habits of Highly
Effective People.
Hang on.
I think I've read this book.
Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey.
Yeah.
And it's one of those ones where I'll probably go back 2 or 3 times because some of it goes over your head. But, it just talks about growth. And it's tough because you've never been there. Or, you get insights of where you want to go from other people, and that's kind of where you gravitate to, right?
Right.
Like we all know where we suck and we all know where we were better. It's like, I'm in a relationship now and it's like, I suck time at times. I still have to work on myself to be better, even though at my age, at 50, nearly 54, it's like I'm still working on myself. It's not just a set and forget relationship. Right? I still have to work at it. I still have to be creative. I still have to think of how to come across as a better man. So it never goes away. And it's like you said, every day you get up, like, I got to go to the gym. Oh, yeah, but the bed's warm and the pillow's nice. No, get up and go.
Yeah.
That's it. Action cures inaction, right? So
absolutely. An object in motion wants to stay at motion. An object at rest wants to stay at rest, whether that's actual physics or the habits that we make. Yeah, it's easy. To not go to the gym, it's easy to not do something. Maybe the mental landscape afterwards, when you're beating yourself up about not going, isn't the greatest. But honestly, I'd say it's like everything. Like this is one thing that my dad told me years ago about. I was on 80s and I had crashed early in the race and a bike was all bent up. I started heading back to the truck and he stood at the edge of the track and he's like, get back out there. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like the bars are twisted or this is like, if you start quitting now, start pulling off mid moto, probably like it always gets easier. It always gets easier to throw in the towel. Today's not my day. The recipe's not perfect as far as like either finishing this moto or going to the gym or what have you. And you can kind of come to that crossroads any number of ways through the journey of whatever it is you're trying to do. Like I know there's people who they'll go to the gym 5 days a week for a month and then something happens where they get sick or they get derailed somehow. They miss 2-3 days. Or they just don't feel it. And they find themselves like, I'll go tomorrow. It starts to creep in. You showed yourself that you can choose to not go. And the next time, like you might have felt bad about it. You might have like, oh man, I should have went. Screw that. And then you go, and like maybe a day or two later or whatever it happens to be, and you fix it a little bit. But like that starts to creep into your mind that, like, you start to lose, like you lose grip on it. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think that, that comes down to where you have to be true to yourself, right? You're not going to lie to yourself. Brad says, I'm going to go to the gym 6 days a week. Right. I don't know what your rest day is, but you've got to be true to yourself and not lie to yourself. Because how can anyone trust you if you lie to yourself?
Right.
Right. You got to love, as silly as it sounds, you got to love yourself. Right. And when you commit and you don't miss, that's when you start to build that resilience and the mindset to overcome adversity. because you 100%. Know, you hit that gym 6 days a week, you can do an active rest day. You could go to the pool and swim or you know, play racquetball or whatever you want to do. And you're in the town, you know, I don't know, your hockey or whatever. I mean, that's kind of not an active rest day, but, you know, you start to build that muscle. And that was what I did. You know, I had, you know, and I got let go from Geico. My green cards were denied and my kid was going off the rails in Australia. I mean, that was some pretty tough times. And it's like, all right, I have to change this. I have to break these cycles. The easiest thing for me to do now is train. And I had a goal to become the fittest I would ever be in my life by the time I hit 50.
Yep.
Right. And then I surpassed that. And then that's when a lot of things changed, right? Because I got my fitness right. And then that started to lead into getting your mind right.
There you go.
So that, you know, it all starts with, a lot of it starts with being physically fit, knowing food, and not eating shit food, because you put shit food in, you get shit results. We all know that.
Yeah.
How good does McDonald's taste? I mean, that's so good. And the next minute you're like, God, that was the dumbest thing I ever did. You know? So it
does. Yeah, no, I've had that thought process like mid eating. You're like, the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, and then there's a lot of like sort of like metaphysical chemical reasons why our brains, like when we're on a diet, we crave those types of things versus when we're not. I don't want to get that granular with it. But like for me, adversity is, like you said, it's baked into a lot of things. And you don't have to face all of it yourself all the time. I'm not saying that you need to have a babysitter, but like for myself, when I know what I'm at my best is when I'm tracking my meals. I have either whether it's the MyFitnessPal. I happen to use the First Form. They have it's not the premium version of their app. I think it's the basic version. It's like $13 a month and it allows you to track everything. You can scan all the barcodes. You can give you basically like as down to the gram, ballpark of what your calories are, in and out, your macros, all that fun stuff. I'm at my best, not only when I'm tracking it, but when I'm sending it to either yourself or Sage and we're talking about it like, hey, this is what I did today. And to be completely honest with myself about it, there's some times where I blow past where the deficit should be. There's some days where I'm as dedicated as I can possibly be. And probably could have like fit in like a sweet treat or something in there. But either way, when I'm tracking it and I'm honest with myself, that's when I'm at my best. And I guess what I'm trying to say is having a support system in place to help you and sort of bounce ideas off of, having those good people around you and being able to like identify those people, acknowledge it and cultivate those relationships, that might be the biggest part.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to touch on something you said back there and kind of a statement and a question. It's like, hey, when you're dieting and you know, trying to eat healthy, and it's like, mm-hmm. When did that not become the normal?
Yeah.
Right? Why are you such in the 1% or an outcast because you're on a diet? No, I'm just eating clean.
Yeah.
The end. That's it. I'm eating clean. I'm putting
good stuff in my body. Yeah, I'm not on a diet right now. I'm just eating how I'm supposed to.
But, I mean, again, like, you know, you talk about, you know, like the food in the adversity, and it's the same for everything. You are, and people will get mad at this, and I get it, but you are the average of your five closest you hang with. If you're hanging with five smokers, you're going to be a smoker. If you're hanging with five drinkers, you're going to be a drinker. If you, you know, if your goal is to make $100,000 or $150,000 and you're only making $35,000, well, then you need to go work out what the 100, 150,000 guys are doing. And you got to roll in their circles. Because there's five of them and you're the sixth, you will eventually get dragged up.
Yeah.
It's going to take some work. It's going to take some time. It's It's going to take
it's some also going to take some convincing to get those other guys to hang out with you.
Yeah, true, true.
But, like, but eventually, you're like the one nutsack that they're hanging out with. They're like, you got to fucking level up, man.
Yeah, no, I get it. But that's, and that's how I look at stuff as well. It's like, hey, if I want to be a part of this, then they're the guys that I got to hang with. How do I get into that group? How do I do it? What can I bring to the table to help them to get into that, into those circles? And like I said, I think that is a lot of adversity, and you know, find people that can help you. There's plenty of people out there that will give back and help you in the areas that you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And it comes down to being consistent. It comes down to being honest with ourselves. It takes grit. And it takes consistent grit. Like, a lot of people can set their alarm, roll themselves out of bed, 5 o'clock in the morning, hit the gym once. Can you do it again? Can you do it 3 days in a row? And if how you need to think about it is just one more day. We had Sage Voda on here. Great guy. Extremely fit. He's one of those first, he works at First Form, but he's a First Form athlete. Let's be honest. And he's one of those guys who really preaches you can do an, like, it's just one more. Can we do one more like that? You know what I mean? Rather than looking at the entire mountain, let's look at today. Let's wake up today, choose and lay out our day of how the things, the actionable tasks we need to do in order to get things done, cross those things off. And when those things are done, we can throw a W up on the page, or whether it's physically on a piece of paper or in your mind, that you've won the day and you did what you needed to do to be able to move the needle forward. And I'll take this a step further, is when you believe that the work that you're going to do, you like wholeheartedly believe in the work that you're going to do, you'll really start to surprise yourself of what you've been able to achieve. And if I think about it historically, there isn't a single thing in my life that if I put in the work wholeheartedly, as hard as I could, for as long as I could, in order to get to a goal, I got there. It might not look exactly the way that I wanted it to, or it might not have come to me as quickly as I thought it would, but I got there. Whether it's the podcast, like when I was 26 years old, or I was 25 years old when I started Big Mech Radio. A 25-year-old kid from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, in the middle of January when it's minus 50 outside, the snow is blowing sideways, I had the idea that if I start a podcast to start talking about the sport of motocross that I love so much, and I have this deep well of knowledge for being able to break it down just from my autistical brain of just being able to recant stories and results, and I just throw myself to it. If I can be an expert in that, and I can cultivate enough charisma to do some podcasts, that one day I'm going to sit between Rick Johnson and Jeremy McGrath and host a show on ESPN Radio. I made that happen in 3 years. Wow. But it took showing up.
Yep.
It took consistency. And it took intention in my work, and it took also the belief that if I work at this and I truly try to accrue all of the skills needed, learn the platforms, learn how to develop these relationships, understand social media, understand how to not only make the podcast, but learn how to promote the podcast so that enough people will fall in love with it, that I can make my dreams come true. I've been able to go to motocross as nations. I've stood on the floor for Anaheim 1. Unfortunately, I won't be there this year, but I've done it many, many times now. And it's because I believed in the work and I went out and did it.
Well, that's it. I mean, like, everything is in the work. Everyone wants shortcuts. And I think social media these days, there's a false belief there that it's easy when it's not. Everything is in the work. It doesn't matter. Yes, someone's got more talent, someone's got more skill, whatever it is, but it's in the work and it's in everything. Just exactly what you said. you know, with your goal, you did it in 3 years. It's just the work and never missing and always showing up. That's the difference to one, someone that says, oh, he's so lucky. No, he did the work. Yes, like I said, there are some handouts. There are some cheat sheets. Someone can help you. You can get a lift here or there, but someone also recognizes the work that you've done. That's why you get those opportunities.
Yeah, that's really, really what it comes down to. And when it comes, let's talk a little bit further into the adversity we face in our lives. I'm of the mind, and then maybe this is something that's always kind of helped me get over adversity, especially when you're in this space, you're in the personal development space, is that you acknowledge that the work is never done, that there always is going to be another challenge. You're going to give yourself that challenge. So if you're shy about approaching adversity, this might not be the line of work for you, because it's not going to stop. It's going to show up in all different ways in your life. It's going to show up in just the fact that, like, yeah, okay, it's no different. Like to the point where, like, there might not be like some unexpected adversity that just comes upon your life. Sometimes you put it upon yourself intentionally. I'm going to go race Leadville. Racing Leadville is adversity. That is an adverse condition for someone to put their body through, and you're going to prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, I mean, like as I mentioned, I got accepted into Leadville yesterday through the lottery system, and it's like, that's a life-changing an event.
I'm going to be there, by the way. I'm going to be part of your roadside system. That's written in.
Yeah, I mean, like I've spoke to a couple of guys that have done it, and it's like, you know, how do you train for it? It starts at 10,000 feet, finishes at 15, or you go up 15. I don't know how the actual 110 miles works yet, but you know, how do I start? And then I'd also, prior to this, I'd committed with my girlfriend to do a half Ironman, and it's like those two races are massive for the year. And that's like throwing, I still want to race motocross, right? There's two stroke cup, there's well vet, there's all these little things, and it's like I got a lot on my plate right now. And then the other side of it comes to, how are you going to fund it? How are you going to do it? So, you know, I have all those emotions and I can't do it. What if, and what happens, and what about this? Like, I'm going through all that stuff as well. Like, it's, you know, like I said, Leadville was like, oh, I'll go in for the lottery, see what happens. And I got the email yesterday and I'm all, oh, I can decline. Right? I could have said nothing and just said, no, I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to take it on. Am I going to go a month before and try and take a month off work and gradually go to and get to altitude? Or am I going to fly in on Thursday and wing it and race on Saturday? I don't know. That's the adversity that I've got to lay out on a calendar or a goal board or vision board, whatever, and go, right, how am I? This is only 8 months into the year.
And we're already 8 days into the year.
And it's like, training started yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So that, like you said, that is adversity. What am I going to put my body through? 10 hours of hell.
Yeah. Every time we up our game, which is required, by the way, if you're in the personal development world, you are required. It is your duty and obligation to continue to up your game. If you've been running 5 miles, time to do six. If you've been doing 10 reps, time to either add some weight or add reps or start playing with the tempo. It is your obligation that if you're able to produce 50 leads today, tomorrow it's got to be 51. Or if you need to do 50 for a while, but eventually it's got to get to 51, got to get to 52. At some point, like, you have to require of yourself that you continue to improve, and that's what personal development is all about. If that's what it wasn't about, then we wouldn't be calling it development. We would just call it Standing Pat with Brad and Hoppo. And that's just not the case. And I think that it's really healthy to be able to acknowledge that we're gonna, we can take on this adversity and we can reconcile with it and continue to build past it. And all that's gonna do is, like you said earlier, it's like you've never done it before, so you don't know. But you can take the experience of overcoming one adversity and direct it towards something else. So like, I got through that. I can sure as hell get through this, whether that's an ending of a relationship, a changing of your occupation, moving to a new city. That is all adversity. Yeah. But, right. And all of your experience will carry you through.
And I want to probably point out something, you know, there's loose terms out there like, he was a self-made millionaire or whatever. That's not true.
Yeah.
Right. You need other people to help you leverage. And that's what I talk about, you know, your average of your closest five friends or your associates, whichever way you look at it. You know, for some people that hurts because, you know, the family is so tight and, you know, the family don't want you to do that because it's going to make them look bad or, you know, you're the outcast, you're the black sheep or whatever. But you go, no. This is where I'm going. This is my path and this is what I want to do and this is what I have to do. Right. So then it does come back to, you know, like a few people said to me, guys, oh, you're crazy doing Leadville. That's stupid. Not stupid, but why would you do that? And then someone's all like, hell yeah, I did it 3 years ago. You'll do it easy, but look out for these pointers, you know, and the same with, you know, personal development. It's like, it just never stops. Like I coached with Rob Beams 3 or 4 years ago. I just wanted to ride a motorcycle faster. Now it's led to the point where, you know, now I've got my own little coaching business because of all that. I mean, he gave me all the tools and I just pieced everything else together and he coached and I learned, you know, I paid the money, but I also did the work. So I've done the work to get that credit. You know, like last year, my goal was to win a mountain bike championship. I won 2. Am I going to do those series this year? Probably not now because I've got a bigger goal of Leadville.
Right.
Right. So that each year, you know, I think that you have to come up with those goals. You have to come up with that fear of like, how am I going to do it? How am I going to fund it? And who can help me? Who's my guys that have been, that are in front of me, that have been there that can help me, whether it is with knowledge, financial, skills, technique, or whatever it is, like, And that's tough for some people because, you know, whether it is more family based or friends based and I don't do that. That's stupid or that's silly. And it's like, if that's what you want to do and that's the right path and direction, then you've got to pull all stops to find it and dig deep to do it.
Yep. Yeah. So, that being said, like, When someone was coming to you with an adverse situation, they're facing some adversity, they're weathering the storm. What advice would you have for them?
I mean, I think that you've got to, you know, you got to ask yourself where you're at and where you want to go. And you know, sometimes you got to go deep inside, and sometimes there's scars and trauma there that people have to overcome because everyone is different. But I'm here to tell you that everyone has the same opportunity, just how bad you want it. But someone like that has really got some adversity. Like I got a buddy that just had a back operation the other day. I mean, he's, you know, he's got some adversity again. He's just starting to walk at 2 days after. He wants to ride a moto in 6 or 8 weeks. I mean, he's got a long path to recovery, just like what I had. I mean, you got to look to your goals. And you got to be true to yourself. And it's like, if I really want this goal, you know, you can start to work backwards and go, okay, this is going to take X amount of time a day, a week, a month. I can't get sidetracked. And just be around the people that are supportive of those goals and want to see you succeed.
Yeah.
If you're in the group that's not supporting you, and I hate to say it again, you get feedback of like relationships similar to where, you know, we've all been in past relationships that aren't working. You just got to know when to cut it, because it's, you've only got one life to live, and you have to make it work, else you're not going to go anywhere. It's tough. Yeah. It's no, so tough.
Absolutely. And as much as it may hurt to hear this, you might have to, I wouldn't say pull yourself away from completely, or in some cases you might, but like you might have to stop hanging out with certain people. Get out of the crab bucket. There are people who would consider themselves your friend. You might consider them your friend. But they are not happy for you when they see that you're making progress. They are not happy with you or for you when they see that you're losing weight or becoming more successful, making more money. You always have to be very careful who you can tell bad advice to or bad news to, especially, and also with people you can tell good advice to. People who aren't happy for you, those aren't friends. And the people who, like, if there's a certain person in your life that you say, like, I want to start hitting the gym more, but then you think to yourself, what's so-and-so going to think of that? Cut that person out of your life immediately, because that is literally just going to be, like, detrimental to your progress in that area. Same thing with drinking. I'm not a big, I don't drink very much, but I certainly know that there are certain people in my life that, if I'm looking to cut back for a certain amount of time. Also, for that same amount of time, I have to cut back how much I hang out with that person, because they're the type of person that's going to give you a hard time. Come on, it's just one. Hey, have a quick beer. What's that all like? Why you got to be like that? Or they have some choice words for you. That person, they are not looking out for your best interest. They just want a drinking buddy, misery loves company too, by the way.
They're just bringing you down to their level.
That's right.
Right? You want to find people that want to bring you up to their level.
That's right.
That's the difference. And then that, you know, that if you've got a guy saying that, hey, you know, I would own so much worth of real estate. And it's like, all right, and you got no money. And it's like, well, how do you do it? And it's like, well, there's people that will help you if you're willing to do the work.
That's right.
So you find those people. It's, you know, we have the world at our fingertips, and it's called an iPhone. We have ChatGPT. You can find out anything you need to find out. In my day, when I was in my teens and 20s, if I wanted to ask a girl out, I had to find a number in the phone book and dial up the phone.
Most likely talk to her dad.
Pretty much. Or you had to go out and meet someone. Yeah, yep. Now we got apps. You swipe left or right. You do whatever. And it's like, you know, the hard work is gone in some way. Well, the hard work still prevails, right? Even though everything is made easier and easier, it's still in the hard work.
Absolutely, it is. So to recap, when it comes to adversity, understanding that adversity is everywhere, and that when we do overcome adversity, we can use that to not only give us evidence that we conquered something, it should help build us our momentum moving forward. Understanding that although you might not be in an adverse situation right now, that adversity will always be part of our lives, no matter what stage of life we're in, or kind of where we are along our development journey. And that a support system is absolutely compulsory in order to truly get over something or get past something. Often there is some time, or there's some part of it that it has to happen within the mind. You may have to like remove yourself in order to do that thinking and unpack some things, but there is absolutely no shame in reaching out to whether it's a professional or a friend that, you know, to be either successful or someone who, is known to give good advice. Lean on those people, and help them, and they're going to help you get through.
Yeah. I'm a big firm believer of meetups, masterminds. Pay the money to get into a mastermind. If you've got to get into that next level, pay the money. You'll never regret it getting into those next circles. You get into a little bit of the side of the psychology side, like, you know, you got your left and your right brain of thinking. you know, your mind always wants to protect you because it doesn't like hurt, right? Everyone is different. Some people can handle it more than the others, but your brain is always trying to protect you from pain, whether it be physical or emotional. So again, that's where the fear and adversity comes in. And you have to overcome those, and everyone is different on their tolerances of those pains.
Certainly. Yeah. You're 100% right, man. This was cleansing. This was great. Great points of conversation here on Racer's Mindset. We would be remiss to get off this podcast, Hoppo, without at least talking about the fact that Anaheim 1 is just 3 nights from here. We're sitting here on a Wednesday. This will get posted on the Thursday. And by then, the track is completely in. Press days are basically started, ready to rip. Press conferences are happening, I believe, Friday, if not Thursday as well. In-person stuff. I think I'll get some opportunity to do some stuff on Zoom, having not being at the race. But let's talk about the results a little bit. Let's talk 450 class. We don't know everybody who's going to be on the line for the 250 class. That, and I also think this might be a banner year for the one, the only Danger Boy Hayden Deegan. But let's talk 450s. Are you going with the Countryman? And if so, which one? Because the two of them are a bit of a hot shoe.
Well, I mean, they're good. They're good. you got Tomac saying he's leaving everything on the track. He's going to make it his last hurrah.
I hope he does. On the record. I do too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be so good, right? It is every year. And I think there's no more better hype than A1 on anything, any sport. No real big changes. I mean, no one really changed brands. The heavy hitters are still all on the same equipment. Everyone's made changes over the past couple of months since the last race. It's always hard to bet against the previous champions. Ken Sexton beat Jet. Can he beat Hunter?
That's the question.
He's comfortable. I don't know. And then you got Prado. I like to see Prado do some good stuff. Something a little different, you know.
How do you think he's going to do with the Kawasaki? That's the question. Like he's been on Austrian bikes for a long, 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 long time. His entire professional career, he has been on some sort of Austrian manufactured motorcycle, whether it's a KTM or a Gas. I'm very curious.
Show a suspension, aluminum chassis. Yeah, the list goes on, right? And, you know, and you look at, you know, for that guy, we can touch on adversity. This is just my opinion. It's like the guy raced Europe GPs all year. He did motocross the nations. He had to come to the US. Now, whether he'd been back and forth throughout the year or when he was here earlier last year, he already started his legal process. I know the legal process isn't easy because I've been through it twice. He had to go get driver's license, social security numbers, go rent a house, go get a car. Like, even though he has a salary probably to back all that, that is still normal daily stuff that he had to go take care of. Either he did it the day he landed, and then he's got to get on a cow, he's got to meet the team, he's got to recover, he did motocross the nations. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of adversity there. He had a little crash, had a little nap. He's all good now. Like, that's adversity. And then he's going to line up on Saturday night and try and throw down the best he can. With the best in the world.
With the but best he is in the a world. World.
He knows how to race. He knows how to win. He's super smooth.
He's going to get good starts. I there's a lot of people who are kind of like having an eyebrow raised to see if he's still going to get good starts on a Cowie. I on record, I think his average start position this year is going to be inside the top five with a lot of hole shots.
Yeah, I mean, like,
whether or not he gives up positions, like on his way to the checkered flag out to take, or the green flag to take the first lap, is completely beside the point. I think he gets some good starts. I really do.
Well, when you know, we've had no rain in California.
Yeah.
Or in Southern California, Northern California, a little different. So that dirt is dry. It's going to be hard packed. Mm-hmm. The moisture is going to come out like it does. Oh, actually, tell a lie. It's a day race.
Anaheim wants a day race?
It finishes at 8. It's a day evening race for
really? East Coast
television. Yep.
Anaheim won. I need to look at this now. I'm going to be... Actually, that's kind of nice.
And the only reason I knew that was my good buddy Schneike told me the other day.
What the
heck? It's done at... I think the 450 main event is 8 p.m.
Huh. Yeah, I know they've been doing... Well, maybe not 8 p.m. That's early.
For what they're trying to get more East Coast.
Yeah, I know that's what you're trying to do. That's still crazy. Like, but I hate to say it, that really takes away from like people in the stadium, like showing up. Detail. Like, there's got to be. I'm literally going to the website right now. This is great audio. Yeah, 4 p.m. Doors open at 10. So it's 2 hours earlier, which is like, wait, is that, that must be local, because you can buy tickets. Yeah, it's a 4 p.m. like start to the, which is usually 7. So that's what, 2.5 hours early?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, like. But doors don't open any earlier. One of my favorite things about Anaheim 1, the years that I've been able to go there as a media guy, is like walking in there at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And then you're like just walking through. This is back when like guys like Chad Reed were still racing, like 2017, 2018. And you're just like, oh, there's Chad and Ellie. Oh, there's Jake Weimer. Oh, there's like, and they're not having to like hide behind or walk in behind the trucks and the trailers and stuff like that. They're literally just walking the pits like it's just an outdoor, like there's no fans there and stuff like that. That's one of my favorite things. But yeah, you're totally right. Opening ceremonies are going to be going off, and it's going to be like full blown bright outside.
Yeah. And I believe all majority of the West Coast rounds are like that.
Yeah. There you go. That's crazy. So my winner, I'm going to go ahead and say Jet Lawrence gets it done. I think that he's got to be the smart money coming in. Tons of momentum from he's your two-time SMX world champion. He is your reigning Supercross champion. He's going to have the number one on the bike. I'm still, and I will die on this. I don't like the purple plate. I think purple is a stupid color and especially like, I don't know, is it the shade of purple that they use? It's not good looking. And the highlighter yellow numbers are atrocious.
No, I like it. I disagree with you. I like it. It's old school. Stanton days. Come on, man.
Like, that was canary yellow. That was like Suzuki yellow. It's different.
Yeah, I don't know. I like.
And if it was a blue plate, I will concede. If it was a blue plate, I think that would be like totally different. I think the two colors, the highlighter green yellow and the purple are two colors that I do not think go well together at all.
I'm dating myself now. That originated from, was it the Camel Supercross or
Wrangler? Yeah, Camel Supercross. Yeah, no, Wrangler. it was still Camel. Although I think the original blue plate yellow number may very well have been the Wrangler what would they called it, the Grand National Champion, which was the combination of the all the points, Supercross and Motocross. Like this whole world, like this SMX thing, although this like Super Motocross is a new-ish concept, but like the concept of awarding something for the entire like the entirety of the year is not necessarily a new concept that has happened before, and it's come in the way of the Grand National Champion. That was why for a little while I think it was Brock Glover and David Bailey were one in the two number ones in the same race.
Right,
a little confusing,
but they. But that's how the number system went off, was outdoors and supercross combined.
Right.
That's how the number system worked. So it was always there. They just presented it in a different way.
That's right. So like I've said, honestly, I think it's going to be Jet Lawrence. Jet Lawrence is going to win this weekend. That's my prediction anyway. I think that Eli Tomac is looking very, very solid. Rolling into the 2025 season. I hope it goes better for him than, say, some farewell seasons like that did in 2002 for Jeremy McGrath, although that was never intended to be a farewell season. That was just a year on 2002. He was essentially looking to be able to kind of come back and reclaim his crown. Wasn't able to do so in the 02 season. I just hope that he's more of a factor throughout the season. And then rounding out your podium, I'm going to go with the other Hunter or the other Lawrence brother, Hunter Lawrence. I think he's shown a lot of speed. He's trending upward, and it'll either be him or it'll be Chase Sexton.
I think Tomax will be on the podium.
Okay.
Although he's never good for the first round, but I think he'll be on it.
Yeah, didn't he win it 2 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, he won. Like obviously Sexton gets the championship in 2023, but in Supercross. But if I'm not mistaken, that was Eli winning. I think it was, if not the first two, I think he won a couple of, like, he won the first three out of the first four rounds and kind of established himself. And then that the rest of the year, Sexton was fastest, but kept throwing it away. And then like, and then obviously the, like, people forget how, like, basically like sewn up that championship was until Eli tears his Achilles. And then obviously the rest is history, right? But
again, like you talk about Sexton, and I think I've mentioned this prior on some other episodes where you talk about adversity. And then now, you know, you talk about the SMX where, again, he come from Honda. He went to KTM. He literally had 8 to 10 weeks to rest, recover, learn a bike, learn a team, and defend.
Yep.
Right? Like that's not a whole lot of time. So you can see why, you know, I believe you can see why he struggled the first half of the year is because they're still trying to get the bike right for him.
Yeah.
Going into this year, he's got a good year under his belt. He's happy with where he's at. He's got a lot more seat time, I'll call it, to where he's got to be 110% more comfortable than he was this time last year.
Has to be. So, if he's not, we have problems.
Right. So in going into, let's say, 26, you know, there's rumors of people moving around. I mean, Prado's in the same ball, right? He left Gas, Motocross the Nations, and then had to do the same thing. He had 10 weeks to get his life sorted out, get ready, race. So, again, I don't know who's going to be the biggest moves at the end of this year and change teams, but they're going to be in the same boat.
Yep.
That 10-week window.
Yep. No, it's like, and I went over this with Alden Baker on this podcast a couple of years ago that the motocross off season with all of the different, now you have World Supercross and the Australian series is more prevalent than it's ever been. People still expect racers to go out to Paris and motocross nations and whatever else. We don't have the Geneva Supercross anymore, but yeah, we've got everything else. The window is so small. And for a lot of these guys, like the off season and all that whole boot camp thing, it's basically like whittled down to like an 8 week fit challenge at best. That would be almost on the long version. How much progress can you make in that time? On top of the fact that you as well as I know, a lot of these guys use the off season to go get some surgery and get healthy. Well, like that's a whole other situation to come back from. If you have some sort of surgical procedure, you're probably not coming back, and you're not at full strength 8 weeks later.
You just take the motocross season off and get your surgeries done, so you can be ready for supercross now.
That's right. Yeah, just eliminate yourself from the SMX thing, and then do that whole thing. But Hoppo, always a pleasure to have you on the podcast, man. This was a bit of a longer one. I think it was needed because we had some time off. We are back to it. We will be back in 1 week's time with a guest this time, rather than just the two of us going back and forth and back and forth. But really appreciate you making some time, as well as speaking not only on the topic of adversity, but the adversity you faced in the passing of your dear friend. And I appreciate you being so candid and sharing that with us.
No problem. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Awesome, man. Well, don't hang up just yet. But for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off right there.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this one and rowdy fans play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by, the 30-second cards on its side.